Welcome back to Ramsay's Recaps, the show where we recap Gordon Ramsay.
Gordon!
The show.
Gordon! I thought you would do more. I was going to be your backup vocals, and then you so abruptly stopped.
I was just doing like a little jingle at the beginning. I wasn't trying to do like a full song.
Gordon! Anyway, I loved it. It was amazing.
Hi, I'm Courtney. Thank you. I worked really hard on it.
Yeah, good. I'm Alana.
And my tummy hurts, but we're here and we're being brave.
Let's start it off on that note. You, for sure.
What? That my tummy hurts?
Yeah. I'm sorry your tummy hurts.
Yeah, that's the reason the episode is late, because I'm tired and my tummy hurts, but it's fine. We still watch this bonkers episode.
So, as per usual, Courtney, you need to introduce what this is and who we are and why we're here.
I did it in the song. Did you not listen to the jingle?
Apparently, I didn't.
I literally said, "Welcome back to Ramsay's Recaps, the show where we recap Gordon Ramsay."
Oh my god, how did I miss all of that?
Because you were waiting for your moment to sing.
Yeah, that's actually what it was. You're right. I'll admit to it. I'll own up. Sorry.
You were so focused on your part of the improv that you weren't listening.
I was so focused on finding an in, finding an opening. I wanted to harmonize so badly that I forgot to listen to the melody.
Acting is reacting.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
Yeah, so we're here to tell you all about Gordon Ramsay's life, and mostly kitchen nightmares, but congrats to Gordon on having another baby.
Even though he's 79 years old.
He's 57, but still, it's weird, but...
When you first texted me about it, it was like, Gordon just had a baby, even though he's, like, easily 65. I would have believed 65. He's got old man energy, for sure.
Which is so funny. And also, because, like, his oldest kid is literally, like, 25. Like...
Yeah, that's bananas to me. Like, I guess it happens.
Yeah.
Is it all the same wife? Or do all of his kids have the same mom?
Yeah.
How... I shouldn't ask how old the mom is. Biological clocks don't matter. Have kids whenever you want. But, like, how old's the mom?
I think she got to be, like, in her 40s then, right?
I guess.
I don't know. I know they've been together forever, so...
What was the kid's name?
Jamie Oliver. I don't know.
You don't remember the name of the kid?
No, I know it wasn't Jamie Oliver, even though that would be hilarious.
No, let me look, because we had a whole... We were both like, that sucks. Let me find what it was real quick. Oh, it was fucking Jesse James. It was Jesse James.
Oh, that's what I... Honestly, Jamie Oliver Gordon would be funnier.
Jamie
better.
Oliver is an objectively better name.
It's also just a different chef, like a different British chef.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought you were just saying a random name, and I was like, yeah, that sounds British.
No, you know the guy who came to America and tried to get kids to not like McDonald's chicken nuggets by showing them that it was made of pink goo, and then they all chose to eat the chicken nuggets anyways?
That's good. I hadn't heard about that. That's amazing. Did they just...
That's Jamie Oliver.
You know that meme that was going around social media for a while? I think it was mostly Twitter, where people were like, this is what your, like, chicken McNuggets look like, and it was a bunch of pink goo, but it's actually just, like, a screen grab from Teletubbies, and it's, like, the tubby custard splattered all over.
Yeah. Jamie Oliver, like, literally did that IRL with a bunch of, like... third graders, and then he also fried up real chicken and was like, hey, which chicken do you want to eat? And all the kids were like, the McNuggets.
That's unbelievably funny. That's so funny.
He literally, like, not to go on a Jamie Oliver rant, he literally had an entire show in America on the Food Network that was him trying to get schools in America to make healthier meals. But every time he went to any of these schools, they were like, the like lunch ladies were like, we don't control the food we get. It's like, we don't have money for food here. And Jamie Oliver's just like, we'll just make different choices.
My God.
It's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Anyway, congratulations to Gordon and his new child, Jamie Oliver Gordon. Ramsay, what's his name? His name is Gordon Gordon with his child, Jamie Oliver Gordon.
Jesse James Ramsey.
So bad. It's so bad. I'm sorry. It's bad.
Oh, man.
Do they know? Like,
they have to know.
To protect the world. To protect the world from devastation.
I mean, Jesse James is, like, a person.
Yeah, like a criminal. Isn't he, like, a famously bad, like, Western bad guy?
Yeah, do you think Gordon's, like, a huge Western fan?
Like, it's like Billy the Kid. He's a bad guy, right?
Yeah, he's an American outlaw. He was a bank, I'm literally Googling it right now. He was a bank and train robber in the American Old West.
That's so funny.
So, they literally gave their British child the most American name they could. I guess their kid's American, because they live in L.A.,
yeah, I guess.
Or Las Vegas or something.
The only more American thing is that they named him, like, McDonald Oil Rig Gordon, you know?
Texas Barbecue Gordon. Like,
Monopoly. Capitalism. House of Representatives Ramsey.
Gun Second Amendment rights Ramsey.
AR-15 automatic weapon. Bald Eagle. Bald Eagle Ramsey.
Gordon, don't be mad at us.
Oh my god, I just cracked myself up pretty good.
Speaking of cracking up, this couple is not doing great in upstate New York.
This episode is so fucking much, man. It's so goddamn much.
It's, like, so sad and also so infuriating at the same time.
Yes, that sums it up perfectly.
Yeah, so we're in Ulster County, New York. We're finally out of, like, New York. We're out of the tri-state area. We have left the tri-state area. We're in upstate New York. Finally.
Right.
Freedom. We're in Saugerties?
That's what it sounded like to me, like the philosopher.
It sounded like they were saying Socrates, but it's like Socrates with a G, so it's Saugerties.
That's worse. That's objectively worse. Yeah. That's a bad name.
The way it's spelled is upsetting. Saugerties.
No, thanks. I'm good.
So Gordon's upstate to visit Love Bites.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I know you're about to explain the restaurant. I think that's the worst. That is the cringiest fucking name. I hate it. I hate it so much.
Love Hurts. I just think of the song.
What you call Hickey's. The name of the restaurant is Hickey.
Well, it's a brunch spot, apparently. So take that.
Ah. You got me. Sorry.
The restaurant is owned by Chris and Tess, who are, like, I guess kind of high school sweethearts. It was confusing. They've, like, known each other their whole lives, but they got together, like, after they graduated or something. I don't know. They dated for a while, and then Chris bought the restaurant because he wanted to own a restaurant. They got engaged 6 months into owning the restaurant, and then Chris couldn't handle running the restaurant on his own, so Tess had to quit her job to join him. So she does front of house, and he has been the chef. But he's too anxious to be the chef because he dry heaves all throughout the entire episode. For no reason. That's just like, it's just like how his anxiety manifests, I guess.
I wanted to push his face into the grill every time he did that. I won't lie to you. I don't care. Dry heave somewhere else, not on top of the food you're cooking.
Yeah.
Deal with it. I'm sorry. I have anxiety too. But like, you don't vomit on top of the food you're cooking.
Like, wear a mask, my guy. Like,
and
please.
Everybody was just like fine with it. Everyone was just like, I would be talking so much shit. I would, when Gordon pulled me aside for my confessional, I'd be like, Gordon, he fucking vomits on the food. Do you fucking see this?
Yeah, Gordon never once, like, talked to him about it, which was surprising to me.
I've never seen it manifest in that specific way, you know? Because normally, like, I mean, I shouldn't pick apart people's anxiety, but, like, I've gotten nauseous, like, dry heave with anxiety, but I need to, like, double over and take a minute. He just, like, and he keeps going. He's just hanging out and he goes, and then he just, like, keeps going. But I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. So the main issue. Okay.
That's what it was like to me.
Are you done?
Yes.
The main issue with the restaurant isn't like the food or anything. The food is like whatever. It's the fact that Chris just loves to yell at everybody. Like, and not just like yell, but like tear them apart and be just insulting and mean to them. And it's mostly to Tess, but also Chris's mom and Tess's mom both work there, which is insane also.
And then just like one saint of a line cook.
Yeah. Who is just like, please, dear God, somebody get me out of here.
And like, so in the first couple of minutes, I was so willing to give Chris the benefit of the doubt, you know, like, because they introduced it as like, he's very, very anxious. And he's just like a little boy who doesn't know how to handle his anxiety. And when you're anxious, like, you snap at people. But yeah, this, as you're saying, this wasn't snapping. This was like Reddit incel behavior. It was like a string of like sarcastic comments of like, oh, no one's gonna run out the food. Oh, because nobody has fucking hands, I guess. Like, it's impossible. Imagine if someone just ran out food. What would that even be? It was just like vitriol. Constantly, like, there's lashing out because you're mad and you say one thing out of passion. But it was just like a constant stream of fucking bullshit.
Because Tess would go back there and be like, hey, I need this food for table six. And he'd just be like, shut up. And then tell her to go fuck herself.
Yeah, like, my favorite was like, you know, Chris, can I do anything to help you? Leave me the fuck alone. Get the fuck out of here. Is like what he would do to his mom. And yeah. Like Tess's mom. And like, actually unbelievable. As it went on, I was like, this is not just being anxious. This is actually like vindictive and bad.
Yeah, and then Tess says a few times, like, her mom and his mom just fucking baby him and, like, enable all of this behavior because they just go, oh, he's just so stressed. He just needs help. Oh, poor Chris. Poor Chris. And Tess is like, fuck Chris. Like, fuck that guy.
It was too bad because you could tell they baby him to his face. But then especially his own mom, in her confessional, she'd be like, yeah, this is not the guy I raised. This is not the son I raised. He's doing bad, horrible things. So I was like, so to a degree, she knows. She's just not like able to man up, which I get.
Yeah. Also, it was very clear to me in the like opening moments where Tess and Chris are like giving their backstory that Tess was using that as like some form of therapy because she was just going hard on Chris and all of that. Poor Chris was kind of sitting there just like, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, like the very beginning confessional, I see.
Yeah, like the talking head at the very beginning.
Yeah, I mean, what do you say to that? What's he gonna do, fucking lose it on camera? Like, that early on? It'd be... Also, they probably did it, like, after.
Yeah, they usually film that after, yeah. They're $200,000 in debt, and their house is leveraged, so if they lose the restaurant, they also lose their house. They have been engaged for 6 years, and they have not set a wedding date. And Gordon's, like, driving into this little town, and he says that, and he's like, that's a big red flag. Which, like, first of all,
it is
rude. It is a red flag, but also none of your business, Gordon. But also, huge red flag.
Yeah, see, I was just like, no, you're right, actually. That is a big red flag. Usually, if you get past, like, the 3 or 4 year mark, like, it's not happening, in my experience. Yeah. You're really waiting that long. Like, I've seen Guys and Dolls. That's the plot of Guys and Dolls.
Yeah, there was a whole movie with Emily Blunt and the guy from, what's his name? Jason Segel.
Oh, you right? know, I weirdly watched that movie kind of recently, and they did not get married in the end.
Yeah, that's like the whole point of it.
Yeah, you get it.
So, before Gordon goes into the restaurant to meet them, he does a little, like, behind the scenes bar rescue type style moment where he goes to like the camera bay and goes and just watches all the security cam footage of Chris yelling at Tess because he just wanted to see what he was like. Not that he needed to do that because Chris did not change his behavior when Gordon was inside the restaurant. So.
Yeah. It was another case of like, it's bananas to me that they, hold on. I'm totally losing my train of thought. Never mind. You can cut that. I just, like, lost it while I was talking about it.
I just watched it explode onto a town of 300 people.
Yeah, the train derailed entirely. It's gone now, and I'm sorry.
So Gordon enters the restaurant, and it's, like, a decent-looking... It looks like a brunch spot in a small town. Like, there's nothing, like, super... I don't know. It's, like... You know, if I say brunch spot in a small town, you like, that's what it looks like, you know?
Yeah, there's like weird wallpaper, the floors are tiled, like that black and white tile. That's fine.
Yeah, like brick wall, diner chairs.
I genuinely didn't notice it. I didn't think about it for a single second.
It reminded me of that place in Tacoma we used to get brunch at, the Harv Me place. I never remember Harv the name Me. Of that restaurant. I remember
Harv Me. It's called Harvest or something.
Yeah, it's like the Harvester or something. It's a weird restaurant. It's a good restaurant in Tacoma, Washington, if you're ever there.
Yeah.
Go there, I guess.
Tell them we sent you.
Yeah, maybe they'll give us like $5 or something. Or free pie. Gordon sits down and talks to Tess briefly. He orders like a coffee and then he gets a menu and he's looking through it and there's like so many random things on the menu. Like, it kind of goes all over the place. Like, I think he said there was an African peanut soup and then a spicy breakfast salad, which is what he orders. And then there's a French dip, which is another thing he orders. And then he also orders the crab cake eggs Benedict.
Did I hear them mention a coconut carrot French toast? Did you hear that? Okay.
Yeah.
Why
the menu
the carrot?
Is wonky.
Why the carrot on the French toast?
I don't know. And also they keep saying, like, I guess people keep ordering vegan things, and there's, like, two separate times where somebody orders, like, vegan pancakes, and Chris is like, we don't make vegan pancakes, and I'm like, who's ordering vegan pancakes then? Like, what's happening?
Who's ringing through vegan pancakes?
How is that possible? It's all weird. So Gordon puts his order in, and then... Tess goes back there and is like, hey, this is Gordon's ticket. Don't fuck it up. And Chris is just like, yeah, whatever. Shut up. Get the fuck out of the kitchen. Whatever.
It's unbelievable. It's unfucking believable.
And so Tess is already crying, by the way. The minute Gordon walks in, she's like about ready to cry because she's so like relieved that he's there.
Yeah, it's, well, literally she goes back there and she's like, this is Gordon's order. Prioritize this. And then he does nothing but, like, yell flaming hot garbage at her from every time she goes back there to say, hey, like, I need the Benedict. Make hollandaise sauce. Do it. And he just like, a stream of filth.
Yeah, because he's just screaming at her, like, we don't have Benedicts. I'm not making any more Benedicts. I don't want to make any more. And she's like, you're going to make a fucking crab cake eggs Benedict for Gordon fucking Ramsay, or I'm going to lose my shit.
It's unbelievable. And everyone, like, everybody in the restaurant is turning around and listening because they can hear because he's that loud. Yeah.
And the kitchen is not, like, open, but there's not, like, a door separating the kitchen and the rest of the restaurant. Like, it's a open-ish concept. Gordon's waiting for his food. He talks to Tess. Tess tells him that she has chronic illnesses and that she shouldn't actually be at the restaurant this much because she is, like, severely ill. She has Ehlers-Danlos syndrome and she's already had 25 surgeries. She doesn't have a colon anymore. She lost 18 feet of intestines. Like, she is not, she's honestly like walking around like she's the queen of the world though. Like, she, I would never know there's anything wrong with her. Like,
she looks great.
Kudos to
her. She looks fine.
Like, kudos to her for like fighting through this, but like, girl, you gotta be hurting.
When you just, like, don't have a digestive system. She just, like, doesn't have a lower digestive tract.
Like, what do you even, like, eat? What can you eat?
She was, like, eating something normal looking at the end. So, I don't know. Maybe it's fine now. But, like...
Yeah. It's just wild. So, she never actually wanted to be in the restaurant industry. But she just had to help Chris because Chris couldn't handle it on his own. And she's not even sure if she wants to marry Chris anymore. And then Gordon goes into, like, a brief, like, chefs have some of the worst mental health in, like, the working, whatever, the world, like, the working world or whatever. Which is fair. Like, it's a very demanding job. But also, it's a very male, toxic culture. So,
yeah, it's really surprising that she wanted to maybe not marry the guy that calls her a fucking bitch 5 times a day. Like,
yeah, wild. I would also be a little hesitant, you know?
That, like, calls her a stupid bitch that can't run out food. I can't think of why she wouldn't want to marry a person that does that.
Gordon gets the spicy breakfast salad, which just, it truly looks like a plate of spinach with a, like, unseasoned avocado on top. Like, it didn't look like...
Yeah, it was literally terrible.
Yeah, I was like, what is spicy about this? What is a salad about this? What is breakfast about this? It was awful. And then he gets the French dip, which he says tastes okay, but it was more bread than brisket, which is, you know, not what you want in a French dip.
Yeah, and that felt like him reaching, though. Like, he needed a reason to send back the dish because he always does.
Yeah.
That felt like... That didn't need to happen. He could have just been like, hey, this one was good, but can you stop screaming at your wife like that? Like, that would have been good enough.
Yeah. Yeah, your food was okay, dude, but can you, like, shut up?
Yeah.
And then the crab cake Benedict, he said, was too greasy and, like, too deep fried, I guess.
I believe that.
But he said, like, overall the food is, like, fine, but there's nothing special about it. And you can tell... Like, when you look at the plate, that there's no care taken into how it's, like, presented. But also, he just wanted to say there was no love in the food, because the name of the restaurant is Love Bites, so... Whatever.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Gordon goes and meets Chris. He tells Chris to man up. He gives him a little talking to. And then Gordon's like, only you can save yourself and the restaurant. And then he, like, dramatically walks out of the restaurant. And then Chris goes and cries in the kitchen. And it was a very dramatic scene.
Yeah.
And then the next day is the dinner service. Yay.
Yay.
Chris, or no, Gordon sits down with Chris's mom. And she basically just says that Chris is overwhelmed and is resentful. But Gordon's like, well, you're enabling him. And she's like, I know, but he's just like my son and I don't want to see him sad. And it's like, well, you can't enable him, my guy.
I mean, so. I thought that it was pretty good. He said you kind of enable it. And she was like, you know what? I agree with that. That's actually what happens. I thought it was good. I thought it was, like, pretty solid. It was a pretty solid way for a mom to handle that.
Yeah, I just worry because I know, like, when she's not around Chris, she's very open to saying that those things. Like, she said it a few times. But then, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, she had the balls to look at the camera and say, this is not the son I raised.
Yeah, that's true. She did say those exact words.
I was like, shit, man.
That's like some soap opera line, you know?
It is.
Gordon then goes into the kitchen with Chris to watch him. Chris is immediately freaking the fuck out because Gordon Ramsay is watching him. Which, like, fair. I would be freaking out, too. But his... His anxiety manifests in such a way that I guess it causes him to just be the meanest man in the world.
It's completely unexcusable. It's so bad.
But that's what he keeps saying, is like, I'm just a different person when I'm in the kitchen. Something happens when I'm in the kitchen. And it's like, okay, then don't be in the kitchen then if you can't fucking handle it. Like, literally, if you can't handle the heat, stay out of the kitchen, my guy.
Yeah, they say in the very beginning. They said in the very beginning that they had tried to hire a chef, but quote-unquote, it didn't work out, which is like, you know, red flag. Wonder why it didn't work out. What do you think it could have been?
I feel like that other chef that was there, Roberto, he could have handled that kitchen, probably.
I mean, it was clearly like, I mean, he plays a part, yeah, like, during the dinner service after, like, the menu is fixed.
Yeah.
No one's listening. You know, like, it's clearly a control issue.
Much like Alana at the beginning of this episode, nobody is listening.
Exactly. You get it.
The first red flag for Gordon is that, I guess they're making vegan French toast, which, like, how? Good for you, I guess. Okay.
Gordon kept commenting, like, the food is okay, but for the price... It should be better. So, like, expensive places can afford to have vegan stuff.
That's true, I guess. But the problem with the vegan stuff is that he's cooking it on the same griddle as he's cooking the eggs and the bacon, which, like, doesn't make it vegan anymore.
Correct.
So, you know, that's bad. So, Gordon tells him to not cook the bacon on the griddle anymore, and then Gordon literally turns around. Chris throws a handful of bacon on the griddle. Gordon turns back around and is like, oi, what the fuck? You don't listen.
Yeah, that was not good.
And then he retches a few times. Gordon says his favorite thing in the world to say, which is the menu is too big for the size of kitchen they have. Which, to be fair, it is a small kitchen, and there's, like, two or three of them back there. So there's not, like, a lot of room for them to work.
No, it's literally only Chris and, I think, the line cook. That's all I saw. Yeah. I assume someone was making salads somewhere else, but, like, there's only two people back there from what we saw.
It sounded like his mom was doing dishes. There was that kid that was hovering around who I think was, like, a busboy. And then Tess was the one doing, like, salads and desserts.
Yeah.
While expediting and running front of house, which is a lot.
It is a lot.
So, after the dinner, during the dinner service, Gordon talks to Tess's mom. And he's basically like, why is your daughter still with this man? And she's like, before all the restaurant, he was the perfect guy. And something's changed, and I think they can figure that out or whatever, but also she doesn't want to see her daughter, like, kill herself trying to do this. So Gordon then brings everyone together for a little staff meeting after dinner service, and by everyone, I mean Chris and the two moms and Tess, because that's...
Yeah, because, like, that's all who works there.
That's everyone who works there. He tells Tess and Tess's mom to get out and go home and to not come back because Tess is not going to be working at the restaurant as much as she was before because she, like, shouldn't be and she doesn't want to be. And it's ruining her relationship with her fiance. So she's going to get a little break while Chris goes on a therapy field trip with Gordon.
Yes, seriously. So,
that's what's happening now. So Daddy Gordon takes Chris to therapy. They do a weird hug where they, like, grab each other's necks. It's like a weird dude hug.
It's, yeah.
I don't understand it.
The theme of this episode is, like, toxic masculinity. Like, the boy is anxious, so he turns into a fucking monster. And then you, like, open the tiniest of floodgates, and then he's just, like, all tears all the time. And then, like, yeah, men do weird shit when they're emotional. I hope he went to therapy more than this one time.
Yeah, truly. So they get to the therapist's office, him and Gordon, and then him and Gordon sit on this couch that is, like, no joke, 2 inches off the ground because their knees are in their face. Like, I could not stop staring at the fact that Gordon looked like he was sitting in, like, a child's bedroom. And then Gordon, like, gives the therapist, like, a brief rundown and then just fucking leaves. And then therapist is like, yeah, I was like, Gordon, why are you here? Get out. And then he leaves, and the therapist is like, cool, so I heard a little bit about what's going on, but you tell me what's going on. And hopefully he continued to go to therapy.
Yeah, because sorry, there's, like, a big-ass spider on my wall. Hold on.
Hell yeah.
Ah, spicy. You know when they go to therapy one time, and they're like, I'm cured?
Yeah.
True. Like, No, it's not. And then it seemed like, you know, he went the one time and then spent the whole rest of the episode being like, I've worked on myself and I'm normal and better now. So hopefully that continued.
Yeah. Chris and his mom come in the next day to the new restaurant. It's been renovated. They just, like, updated the wallpaper and, like, the chairs and stuff. It looks nice. It still just looks like a brunch restaurant. I like the wallpaper they used.
It looked exactly the same, except, yeah, like, slightly updated wallpaper. I didn't even notice a difference, except the lights were brighter.
Yeah. They have a smaller, more simple menu. It looked like a lot of toast with goo on it.
Yeah, I was hoping you caught the name of the goo. It had some name, and it looked really delicious, but it was just goo.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. If it was, like, a goat cheese something or other. Like, I would
eat that, probably. It looked good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't catch the name.
A lot of toast with goo. And then first new dinner service. It starts off great. Chris is calm. Food is coming out at a good pace, food is good, everyone's happy. And then it cuts to, like, one of the restaurant, like, patrons, like, reviewing the food. She literally, it's this older woman, she looks at the camera and she's like, this is a good burger. Mayo on the burger is what makes it. It's like, what are you talking about? Mayo? You're gonna praise the mayo on the burger?
You know, maybe it was gourmet goo, you know? Maybe that's what they put on this on the toast.
It was an aioli. So then we get, like, halfway through dinner service, and Chris starts freaking out that they're falling behind. And everyone is like, Chris, we're two ahead, actually. Entrees are going out too quickly.
That was fucking bananas that he was, like, so freaked out. And Roberto was just like, no, man, we're not behind at all. Like, we're not even a little bit behind.
Yeah, like, this was the opposite problem that they usually have. Is like, no, you're sending out food too fast. Like, people are eating. Nobody is complaining. It's been 2 minutes. Like, chill out, my guy. Like,
yeah.
And then Gordon keeps, like, pulling him aside and telling him to calm the fuck down. And Chris just, like, will not. And he, like, goes to throw food away. And he throws the food at Gordon and, like, hits his shoe or something. And Gordon, like, makes him wipe his shoe off.
When did he throw that fucking, like, entire hoagie bun at the line cook? Do you remember?
Oh, that was in the first dinner service. Yeah, where he was like, give me a... Or no, it was for the Gordon's meal. Because he was like, give me a fresh hoagie bun for Gordon's sandwich. And he was like, "You give me a three-day-old fucking hoagie bun." And he threw it at the line cook.
Yeah, and it was like, he was like, don't give me a three-day fucking old one. And the line cook was like, okay, let me go get another bag. And he's like walking away when he throws when he throws it at him. Yeah. It's not even, like, he's off to complete the task. And he throws it after the fact. It's like, calm down, my guy.
Yeah, it's like, nobody is arguing with him. Like, even Tess is just, like, she's not instigating. It's like, he's the one, like, making everything bigger than it needs to be.
It was unbelievable. Anyone throwing shit like that in a kitchen should be fired on the spot. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because what if you lose your temper and you throw a knife or you throw something boiling and someone gets super hurt? If you're throwing anything in the kitchen, that should be an immediate fire, in my opinion.
So then Tess and her mom show up to eat dinner. Gordon says, hey, I have a special guest at table, whatever. Like, prioritize that ticket. Doesn't tell him that it's his fiance and his future mother-in-law. Keeps it a secret. And then Chris keeps freaking out for literally no reason. The tickets are doing fine. A burger comes back that's a little too rare, and Chris, like, loses it even more. Gordon, like, takes him out to the alleyway and is like, just sit here and think about what you've done.
Seriously.
Time out. Eventually, everything goes back on track, and it's fine, and everyone gets their food, and it's delicious, and the night's a success. Woo! And then Chris goes out to see Tess, and they have, like, a cute little moment. And Gordon looks at Chris at one point at the end and is like, have fun. For fuck's sake. Just, like, have fun. Stop trying to be, like, this angry Michelin star chef. You're not gonna be that. Just, like, have fun. For fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Like, and then that's, like, the end of the episode and Gordon leaves. And then we get the old 2 months later. You ready for the 2 months later?
Yes.
Spoilers. They sold the restaurant. So, they no longer own the restaurant, and I did Google it, and the restaurant is permanently closed.
Yeah, I'm actually on their Facebook page right now, because I wanted to find the name of the toast. and I've discovered a lot. So, I have a controversial opinion, and it's that this new menu that Gordon made for them is, like, actually too small.
Yeah.
There are three main courses. There's five appetizers. Three options for breakfast all day. And, like three main courses is simply not enough for, like, the feel of this.
Yeah, yes. But also, they could have changed the menu after Gordon left.
They also did, like, do that. They absolutely did that. it's like, on their Facebook.
That's what Juicy Box did.
It is on their Facebook on June 30th as the menu for the next two weekends. So they, like, phased it out. So the toast, though, the real question, what we've all been waiting to hear. So they had two toasts. They had a whipped ricotta toast, which is just, you know, pesto, the ricotta, a little lemon, a little basil. And then it's called rare bit toast, like rare as in opposite of common, bit as in like a little bit. Rare bit toast. It's literally only melted cheddar sauce on sourdough toast topped with chives. It's just cheese toast.
Oh.
Which, like, I would eat that.
It looked delicious.
Yeah, I just thought it was more than, like, toast with cheese.
See, I would have done, like, a goat cheese thing.
Or maybe that's just anything. It needs one more thing on top of it. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
It needs, like, more than just cheddar cheese. Yeah, it needs anything.
Or, like, if you want to get fancy, like, a prosciutto, something.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd do prosciutto with cheddar, but, like, it needs one more thing. The ham that you said, that would be something. That would be solid.
Yeah, like a ham and cheddar sandwich, like a Monte Cristo kind of situation.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know the restaurant, and it's closed anyway, so what are you going to do?
Yeah, they sold it only a couple months ago, so the fact that they sold it and then it immediately closed down. I wonder if they sold it to just, like, a real estate person who closed it down and put something else in there.
Yeah, usually one of two things happens. Because Gordon Ramsay was there, sometimes people will sell the restaurant because it's having a bump in popularity because Gordon Ramsay was there, and they'll get the money they need from that. And then this one was probably just, like, sold it to some real estate agent who's going to turn it around and sell it to some other restaurateur who's going to change it completely. So,
yeah,
you know. But well, honestly, this so far for this season, best track record Gordon's had ever on Kitchen Nightmares.
Yeah, actually, so. This is the first one that is closed, right?
Yeah. I mean, time will tell what happens to the other ones, but so far, his track record is doing pretty good this season.
Yeah, I do worry about the Juicy Box.
Look, spoiler, I work down the street from one of the Smoke Box locations, which was also a Waffle Box location, but that Waffle Box in particular is closed, like, permanently. But the Smoke Box is still open, so. And then there's another Smoke Box location, not too far from the one near my new office, so.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that there were that many.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of smoke shops in New York now because weed is legal and smoke shops are, not to, like, put them on blast, but everyone knows that smoke shops are mostly a front for selling weed, so.
So Chris and Tess decided to work on their relationship, which I gotta tell ya, is not the call I would have made. If I were
Tess. She needs to leave him.
If I were Tess, like, I would throw the whole man away.
Like, sure, I don't know what he was like when y'all met 10 years ago, but the man he is now, it needs so much fucking work and help, and he needs to, like, go on that journey without you.
Why would you want to be with him on that journey, frankly?
Yeah, truly. And if it's meant to be, then you'll circle back around to that. But for the time being, I think you also need to work on yourself, honey.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's one thing to stand by your man when your man is going through a hard time. But when the hard time is throwing shit at you, you don't want to mess with that.
Yeah, not when he's, like, literally telling you to go fuck yourself every day.
Not when he's, like, a Reddit incel. Like, the fact that she's probably the best he can do. So if she left him, he might shape up right away, you know? But, like, it's just not the call I would have made. Also, at one point they said that he was 31. And I'm like, there's no way that either of these people are older than 19.
Truly.
They, like, it felt like they were, like, children.
12. Like, nobody under the age of 40 should be allowed to own a restaurant.
Yeah, the fact that Q from the Juicy Box last week was 10 years younger than this guy, when I would be like, these are two gentlemen who are the same age, looking at them and seeing how they act.
Yeah.
It's one thing when you're a tiny baby, but when you're fucking 31, get it together, my guy. That's not, like, Gordon kept saying, like, oh, they're so young, like a young couple. Not that young. Old enough to know, to not throw shit at your wife, you know? I'm sorry, I can't forgive that.
I mean, and Gordon pointed this out, too, where it's, like, it's never a good idea to work with your spouse in an industry like that. Like, it's such a hard industry to be in because it is so all-consuming that working with somebody that you also live with, I mean, we're not like married or together or anything, but we experienced this when we were living together and yes. working together.
Yes.
And trying to do theater together. It's like, it's too much. You need that separation. Like, if I wanted to own a business with you, I can't live with you.
Like, yeah. Courtney and I at one point were running a theater company together, just like a little indie theater company. And we didn't have a production team. So the two of us had this show that we were acting in and also directing and also producing and also stage managing. And also the show was happening in our home. So there was just like, no, like work was home, which was also work and also home. and then
my
also,
friend was also my coworker. And also I was mad at my coworker because they weren't like doing what I want, but I also like want to be there for my friends. So it's just like,
it's yeah. And also you're 22 and you're hungover. So like, no one should
and you have severely undiagnosed depression.
No one should ever spend that much time with a single person. Actually, just ever. Just in life. Even if you're married, you go to work separate places and it's a mess.
I feel like even if I was married, I'd go sleep in the guest room every now and then, you know? Just to like be alone.
it is just actually crucial that you have those 8 hours in the day to be at work with not your spouse. That's just like what it is.
Here's my advice to everyone out there. It doesn't matter if they're your best friend or your husband or your wife or your spouse. It's not ever a good idea to be together 24/7, working, home, none of it. You need alone time and you need time to be your own person. That's my PSA.
Yeah, thank you.
This is another episode of Guernsey's Recaps. We did it. Next week we're back in New York because they're in Yonkers.
Yeah, like, no, well, that's like upstate New York, right? That's like New York, New York. That's not like New York.
No, it's right above the Bronx.
Oh.
Yeah, like I could get there in an hour and a half on the train. We're back in the tri-state area.
Okay, word.
It is kind of nice that he's just sticking to one area of the country. I see why they did that for like production value costs.
Yeah, it's Queer Eye rules. Every season is in like a new single spot.
Yeah, Bar Rescue started doing that too because of the pandemic. Like they do I think Bar Rescue the seasons have been mostly in like Vegas and like Arizona and New Mexico, like that kind of area. Times are changing. My tummy hurts.
Oh, well, yeah, let's get you off of here so you can go take care of your tum-tum.
My tum-tum-tum-tum. God gives his toughest battle to the strongest soldiers.
It's so true.
And I have to be brave today. She's so brave. She's well-behaved.
She is not afraid. Anyway, that's about all I have for you.
Yeah, thank you everyone for listening. Let us know your thoughts on Love Bites in the comments below.
And more importantly, go to therapy. Make sure you're in therapy. Everybody across the board.
Even if you don't think you need therapy, it doesn't hurt to talk to somebody at least a couple times just to make sure, you know?
This is a quote directly from Shane Top from Smosh, who's not who I thought I'd be quoting for this particular subject. You'll never know as much about yourself as you think that you know. Every time you're like, I know myself, you're wrong. Like, you don't actually know because you can't look at yourself objectively. So just think about that.
Yeah, I had therapy literally a week ago, and I've been in therapy for, like, almost 3 years now. And, 3 years now. And I learned something new about myself last week, so... You know?
Hell yeah.
We're always discovering.
It's true. Comment below if you're in therapy. Give a shout out to your therapist.
Shout out to my therapist.
I want to shout out Colleen. Yeah, shout out to Colleen, who's my therapist.
Shout out to Asher, who's my therapist.
Incredible.
Shout out to the therapy queens out there.
Hell yeah.
And shout out to Gordon Ramsay for being our therapist every week on Mondays.
And his new child, Jamie Oliver Gordon.
Jamie Oliver Gordon, Jesse James Ramsey. Congratulations, Gordon. I wish you the best. Have fun in Vegas. Hell's Kitchen. Hell yeah. Anyways, good night.
Signing off from New York.
Signing off from San Diego.
Incredible. All right. Get out of here, you scamp.
Get out of here.